message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We all have one thing in common this morning. You see, every person sitting here today is someone's child. And since you are the child of your parents, then you are also their heir. Unless, of course, they write you out of the will. Now, an heir inherits everything that his or her parents choose to give him or her. Today's sermon title is, You Are Children and Heirs. And that title is based on Paul's words from the very end of our reading today, where Paul writes, Now if we are God's children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. During this sermon today, I'm going to use our reading to teach you five things that it means for you to be a child and co-heir with Christ. Let's look at the first thing it means. The first thing it means for you to be a child and co-heir with Christ is that you are not condemned. Remember what Paul wrote at the beginning of our reading? He said, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why does Paul say that? Well, first of all, apart from faith in Christ, we are enemies of God and objects of His wrath. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and brings us to faith in Christ, who suffered the condemnation we deserve, then we are no longer condemned. Paul goes on to explain that the Ten Commandments could never have saved us because they were weakened by our sinful nature. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, you need to understand that the Ten Commandments were never, ever meant to be a means of salvation. Instead, in the beginning, before sin entered the world, God's law was simply a description of how we were meant to live as God's dearly loved children. However, when Adam and Eve sinned, they became enemies of God in their hearts. And as a result, they wanted to do things their own way. And of course, we inherited the same sinful nature. Therefore, ever since sin entered the world, God's law exposes the fact that we're in rebellion against God. That's why the Ten Commandments can't save us. They never could. In fact, now that we're sinners, the Ten Commandments actually condemn us. But here's the good news. They no longer condemn you because you are in Christ Jesus. Paul says that God saved us by sending His own Son into human flesh to be a sin offering. That's why Paul writes these words. He says, And so He condemned sin in sinful man, singular. Now, who is this sinful man that Paul speaks of? The sinful man is Jesus. Wait a minute, you say, time out, Pastor. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is holy and righteous and innocent. He never sinned. You're right. But you see, when Jesus was on the cross, He took upon Himself all the sins of all humans who would ever live. When Jesus was on the cross, He became all sinners rolled into one man. And God condemned Him in our place when He died on the cross. Now, why did God do this? Not because He was obligated. God isn't obligated to save anybody, especially His enemies. The reason God did this is because He loves us with a love that's beyond our comprehension. He wanted to save us sinners from the condemnation we deserve so that we might become His dearly loved children. And now that God has saved you, now that God has made you His children, how has your lives changed? Well, Paul says that the righteous requirements of the law will be fully met in us who are in Christ. What does that mean? Well, not only did Jesus die for our sins, but His perfect obedience of God's law has been credited to you. So when God looks at you, a believer in Jesus, He sees somebody who's never, ever, ever rebelled against God's law, but has obeyed it perfectly. In addition, the Bible teaches that Christ also lives in us and moves us to obey God's law in response to the love and the salvation that God has freely given us in Him. So that's everything that flows from knowing that as a child and co-heir with Christ, you are not condemned. Now we're ready to look at the second thing that it means for you to be a child and a co-heir with Christ. Simply put, to be a child and a co-heir with Christ means that your will has been set free by the Holy Spirit. You know, some people today talk about all humans having a free will. Now, it's true, we do have a free will when it comes to earthly decisions. You can choose to drive a Ford or a Chevy or a Toyota. You can choose to eat at Burger King or at Pizza Ranch. You can choose to obey the traffic signs or not. There's a lot of choices we're free to make in this worldly realm. However, when it comes to spiritual choices, when it comes to serving God and trusting Him, we have no free will. Instead, the Bible teaches that the will of sinful people is in bondage to unbelief and rebellion against God. You could say that we are by nature like a rabid dog. You see, a rabid dog can choose to hate and bite its master, but there's something a rabid dog cannot do. A rabid dog cannot choose to love and serve its master. It simply can't do that. Therefore, listen to what Paul says about sinners who live apart from Christ. He says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. All we have to do is look around the world, and we will see countless people who rebel against God's law every day. In fact, all we have to do is look into our own hearts, and we'll see a sinful nature that rebels against God's law every day. But wait a minute, someone will say. Pastor, I know some non-Christians, and they're very good people. They try to live good, moral lives. What about them? Well, as we learned two Sundays ago, there are two ways that we sinners fight against God's law. One way we fight against God's law is that we willingly and deliberately rebel against it. But the second way we fight against God's law is by denying what it says about our sins and foolishly pretending that we have actually obeyed it and therefore we're basically good people that God ought to love. Now, the Pharisees of Jesus' day fell into the second category of unbelief. You see, they refused to acknowledge that they were sinners who deserved God's wrath. They foolishly believed that they had obeyed God's law when, in fact, God's law had exposed their many sins. Therefore, Paul says that the sinful nature cannot submit to God's law. And when he says that, he doesn't only mean those people who willingly and deliberately rebel against it. He also means people who foolishly think they have obeyed God's law and therefore do not deserve his wrath. In other words, our sinful nature, left to itself, rebels against God either by openly disobeying him or by foolishly thinking we have obeyed him and thereby thinking we deserve his mercy. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit has given you a new will that is free. Free to agree with God's law that you are a sinner who deserves his wrath, but also free to trust in Christ as your only Lord and Savior. The work of the Holy Spirit is to give freedom to those who are in bondage. The work of the Holy Spirit is to give spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. My friends, the Holy Spirit has given you truly free wills. And what does that mean, to have a free will? Well, to have a free will doesn't mean that you're living as you please. That's to be in bondage. Instead, a truly free will means that you trust in God and you joyfully submit to his loving plan for your life. That's true freedom. This is the freedom you have been given as a child of God and a co-heir with Christ. That takes us to the third thing that it means for you to be a child and a co-heir with Christ. Paul says that if you're a child and a co-heir with Christ, you get to live for Jesus now and for all eternity. Listen again to what Paul writes. If Christ lives in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now here, Paul teaches that even though you now live in a dying body with a sinful nature, your spirit is alive because of Jesus and all he has done for you. Therefore, the Holy Spirit moves you to repent of your sin, to trust in Jesus, and to live to God's glory. But wait, there's more. Paul also writes, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Did you hear that? Not only do you get to live for Jesus in this life, you also get to live for Jesus for all eternity. Because when Christ returns on the final day, your spirit will be rejoined to your resurrected body, a body without sin, and therefore a body without death. That means you will live forever as a sinless child of God and co-heir with Christ. Now we're ready to hear about the fourth thing that it means for you to be a child and a co-heir with Christ. Since you are a child and a co-heir with Christ, your motive for living for Jesus is love and not fear. Let me say that again. As a child and a co-heir with Christ, your motive for living for Jesus is love and not fear. You see, those who are controlled by the sinful nature sometimes do obey God's law. Sometimes they do strive to serve God, but they do it out of fear. Unbelievers serve God in the hope that their good works will avert God's wrath. But that's not why you live for Jesus. You live for Jesus because he loves you and you love him. Listen to what Paul writes. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is an Aramaic word that actually means daddy. What's Paul's point? As Christians, we do not see God as a wrathful judge who's ready to zap us the moment we fall out of line. Instead, we see God as our daddy, our loving father, who cherishes us more than we can possibly comprehend. You who are in Christ, you serve God because he loves you and you love him. And all this is possible because of Jesus and the salvation that he has given us. Finally, the fifth thing it means for you to be a child and a co-heir with Christ is that you get to share in Christ's sufferings and glory. Let me say that again. For you to be a child and a co-heir with Christ means that you get to share in his sufferings and his glory. Now, at first, that doesn't seem like very good news at all. I mean, who wants to suffer? However, what you need to understand is that Paul is talking about the suffering that we receive because we trust in Christ. In other words, suffering for Jesus is a privilege. A privilege that gives a witness to others about the hope you have in Jesus. A privilege that strengthens your own faith in Christ. I want you to listen to what Paul writes about this in Philippians chapter 1. Listen to what he says. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Did you hear that? If you suffer because you trust in Christ, if you are persecuted by unbelievers because you live for Jesus, then that suffering is a sign to unbelievers that you have a hope that they do not have. And you know what? Your witness may lead them to repent and trust in Jesus so that they too may be saved. Now please understand, Paul is not saying that we should deliberately go out and look for opportunities to suffer. That's not his point. His point is that when God does allow us to be persecuted for our faith in Christ, rather than saying, God, what's your problem? Rather than saying, well, if this is what it means to be a Christian, I want nothing to do with Jesus. Instead of saying that, God says, when I allow you to suffer because you trust in your son, in my son Jesus, consider it a privilege. Because then I'm giving you an opportunity to witness to others about the hope you have in Christ, a hope that is certain even in the face of death itself. In fact, Paul says that we not only sometimes get to share in Christ's sufferings, but we all most certainly get to share in his glory. Think of it this way. All people have to face death sooner or later, one way or another. We all have to die. But we who are children and heirs of Christ, we can face death knowing that Jesus has conquered death for us and that we can look forward to the resurrection of the body and eternal life in God's glory. his glorious love for us. My friends, sometimes we might have to suffer for Jesus, but it doesn't matter, because we will most certainly share in his glory. In closing, even though God doesn't owe us anything, even though we actually deserve his wrath, the amazing thing is that God has chosen to adopt you as his children through his Son, and thereby making you an heir of all that belongs to his Son. You are a child of God in Christ. That means you're also an heir of all that belongs to him. And that is why we now live in daily repentance and faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding,